Hello, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Can we talk about the weather? Can we talk about the weather and food? Now, most people would think, what does the weather have to do with food? I know you know the answer. But let's talk about that for a minute. This program is called It's All About Food, and we talk about all the things that are related to food. So, food abundance, food scarcity, healthy food, toxic food, and how growing food can be good for the environment or gentle on the environment, or it can be very toxic on the environment. And here we are today in 2001, and the earth is hurting. We have air pollution and water pollution. We have soil erosion. Things are getting hot, hot, hot. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, we need to do stuff. We need to get the government in line. We need to be doing things to make this better, our home, make it a more livable, happy place. And what does Karen keep saying? What do we keep saying here at It's All About Food? We keep saying, go vegan, go vegan, go vegan. Grow organic. Eat food that has been grown in balance with nature. Growing food that has been grown organically without toxic herbicides and pesticides, using bugs, using insects, using native plants in the environment. There are ways to grow food that are gentle on the planet, and we're not doing that. We can grow so much food this way, especially if we leave out the animal in the middle. Growing food to feed animals, to feed people, is not sustainable. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for people. It's not healthy for the planet. So a moment ago, I said, can we talk about the weather? And that's where this has brought us today. The weather. Floods. Drought. Fires. Extreme heat, tornadoes, hurricanes. I think last week I said, pick your climate. And it's really hard. Where do you want to live? It's like today there's nowhere we can go that doesn't have some sort of extreme weather of some sort at some point during the year. The thing that nobody's talking about, the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is a cow. The elephant in the room is that we are all responsible. And it's what's on our plate that is the most important thing that we can deal with today. So to talk about the weather, I bring on my co-host, partner, best friend, everybody, Gary DiMattei. How's the weather for you, Gary?
Karen, everything you're saying is just so important. One of the things that I was reading about earlier before we went on the air was this new documentary that's coming out called Eating Our Way to Extinction.
Mm.
It's narrated by Kate Winslet. Now, I don't know if Kate Winslet is plant-based or vegan or what she is, but she's narrating this star-studded documentary about exactly what you were talking about. So you're right in line with the conversation that needs to happen everywhere on this planet.
Everywhere on this planet. When can we see this film, Gary?
Okay, so it's a documentary called, as I mentioned, Eating Our Way to Extinction. It's a star-studded environmental documentary featuring narration by Kate Winslet. Its theatrical release is September 16th for one night only. I don't know what that means.
Okay, there might be some places where you could stream it for the moment. I don't know.
And then there's going to be a digital release slated for autumn. That's funny about these documentaries, right, that tell the truth, is that they're kind of hard to find. So stay tuned on this page, Responsible Eating and Living, and we will have updates on when that's coming out. But basically what the film is going to talk about is exactly what you opened with. It delves into the connection between the global food industry, including animal agriculture and commercial fishing, fossil fuel dependence, and the current climate crisis.
Yes.
So it connects those dots.
And I'm going to agree that the use of fossil fuels is a tremendous problem. I'm not saying it isn't. But if we're going to get anywhere, the fastest thing we can do today is eat plants and not animals.
Right. And everything you said is true and is definitely going to be addressed in this film. I don't know if it's going to be as addressed as eloquently as you just did it in the opening. But the film also explores the true cost, which is what you're talking about, of human consumption. And that includes
what we put on our plate.
What we put on our plate. Unsustainable products. And the production of animals for food. It addresses that. That's very exciting. And is it all doom and gloom? No. Apparently the film gives you some things that you can do. And again, I haven't seen the film, but I'm just guessing. One of the things you can do is stop eating animals. And stop eating animals that are also living in the sea.
Boom. I'm glad they're including that because the animals in the sea haven't gotten a lot of attention or as much attention as they deserve. Frankly, the ocean is like another planet. And we treat it like another planet where it's part of our planet. And if the ocean dies, we die. We get so much oxygen and there's so much regulation of the planet through the ocean.
Yeah. And apparently the trailer is very powerful. Look for it. But again, you've heard it here as well, out of the mouth of Karen Hartglass, what's happening all over the world with these weather anomalies. We just had a tornado and a flood in New York a few days ago.
Now, what was crazy about this? A tornado and a flood. So when you've got a tornado coming near you, and we're not experienced in tornadoes here in New York City, we got an alert that was telling us, go to the basement.
The basement.
If you have one.
And then we got another alert saying, get to high ground, there's a flood.
So what are you supposed to do? It's crazy. And unfortunately, you probably read in the news, there were a number of people who died who were living in basement apartments that got flooded so quickly. And I hope it wasn't because they heard the tornado warning saying go to the basement and then got stuck there. I think they just lived there, unfortunately, and got flooded. But everything contradicts.
Right.
And it's only going to get more so.
Right. And we feel your pain because no one is without these extreme weather events. And they are events. We have friends living in New Orleans who had to evacuate. And the husband stayed behind thinking he could weather this Ida
hurricane.
What Ida did was wiped out all of the power grids, as you know. You've been probably following this as we all have. He eventually had to leave. She was safe with her daughter in Chicago. And I'm sure you have similar stories to how frightening and harrowing it is just to get through these extreme weather events.
What makes it really challenging, Gary, is that we all have short-term memories. It's so easy to forget. So
right.
We were in California for 3.5 months. Every day was perfect.
Perfect.
Paradise. Sun was shining. And now it's getting a little scary there because of the drought, because of the fires, because of the smoke, and we're not there. And today was a perfectly sunny day here in New York City.
Right.
It's so hard to believe that just a few days ago we were having flash flooding and tornadoes. And there are still people that are trying to recover from that event. And a sunny day is definitely helpful. But with the weather changing as it does, one day it's so easy to just forget that we have a problem.
Yes.
When the weather's good.
Right. But we're here to keep reminding you.
Yeah. The weather's going to get bad.
And give you hope. Because if we stop doing these crazy things to feed ourselves, the weather will get better. It has to. The scientists say it will.
You know, I call it the weather, but it's really the climate. And it's really the variation in weather changes. So we can have a tornado, we can have a flood, we can have a hurricane, but what's worse today is that the magnitude of these things are getting greater and they're happening more frequently, and everything is just bigger and more so. And in places that weren't used to these things happening.
And this film, as well as this program, addresses the fact that time is running out. I know that I'm not here to bring fear, but I'm here to say that these statements are backed by science. And as we've concluded, there are some folks who believe in science and some folks who don't. So you have to decide if you do or not.
Well, you know what? I'm continually frustrated. I try and balance my feelings and my moods. I want to stay happy. I want to enjoy life. You know, it's so easy to just get wrapped up in all of this and
get depressed and say, depressed. Let's give up.
But yeah. I want to enjoy my time here on the planet. And I do, for the most part. But it's frustrating, especially when we see people that are close to us or friends in our family doing things that we know are bad for the planet. Not even talking about bad for the people's own health. If you don't want to take care of your own body, that's your choice.
Right.
But we all share, like I like to say, the same air, the same water, the same earth. And we need to be more considerate. So, for example, today is the Jewish New Year. Now, I've said many times on this program, I am not a religious person, but I do like holidays, and it's fun to mark different times of the year by a holiday, by the holiday foods, and we've done a lot to make different holiday foods vegan and healthier. And so there are some recipes on our website, like our vegan honey cake or sweeter than honey cake.
Delicious.
Because in the Jewish New Year, you're supposed to eat sweet things at the beginning of the year for a sweet year. That's a nice
symbolic tradition.
Right? It's beautiful.
Very nice.
Absolutely. But what's frustrating to me is, here it is, for those who celebrate, it's a new year. This is a time to start new and do better. And I'm disappointed that my friends who are observing and posting on Facebook and Instagram the things that they're making for the holiday
Are not sustainable. And they actually interfere with the things that we're talking about. The thing that we did at Responsible Eating and Living is to protect the bees was you made a honey cake without honey. You made it with agave.
I made it with agave. And if I ever make this recipe again, because we don't make a lot of sweet treats anymore, but if I am to make this cake again, I think I'm going to try date syrup.
Date syrup, right. Right, we just bought some date syrup the other day.
Yeah, you can make it, you can buy it, but that's probably the best sweetener out there because it's a real food, it has fiber.
And it's just made with dates.
It's just made with dates.
You read the ingredients and it says dates.
Dates. Now, it may not be as sweet as people like, but hey, you know, we need to recalibrate our taste buds to be
Absolutely.
In line with nature. And many people crave these extra sweet flavors because their taste buds are off.
Right.
The craving for intense sweetness is not natural.
No. You were just telling me a story, waiting for our produce to be delivered, that, well, actually, we're getting a shipment of fruit. And you saw, let us know the story again. I think it needs to be shared, about mom and daughter walking by
sure.
you as you were on the sidewalk, fully masked, of course.
Of course.
Waiting for the delivery. And tell us what happened.
Okay. Well, we got a Fresh Direct order. Fresh Direct is a food delivery service here in New York and maybe on some of the East Coast. One of the great things about Fresh Direct is the bags that they deliver in.
Yeah,
these
great
are a
bags.
Fantastic shaped bag, and they are great for travel. Everything fits in these bags. But putting that aside.
Yeah, the bags are reason enough to get a delivery because you can then use them over and over and over again until they fall apart.
And we have. I thought I would help the delivery person by going near the truck.
This is a great story.
And getting my delivery, especially because I knew it was going to be heavy. We ordered a case of West soy milk made with just organic soybeans
Again,
and water, nothing else.
When you read
else.
The ingredients on the West soy milk, you see just two ingredients, soybeans and water.
Yes, this is the...
unsweetened.
They have several other flavors that aren't just soybeans and water, but this is the one we get, just soybeans and water.
And yeah, and if you want to sweeten it yourself, you can get some date paste and a little touch of vanilla extract, and it's wonderful.
Absolutely. Back to my story. Still in progress.
Right.
So I went out to the Fresh Direct truck because I was anxious to get the order. And I waited. And finally, before the delivery person came out, I saw this little girl pushing a stroller with one of these little Build-A-Bear teddy bears in a crinoline skirt with some bling. And I said, oh, I like your teddy bear. And then the mom said she's a little disappointed because the ice cream truck didn't come.
Right.
And then I said, oh, you're lucky. You don't really want to have ice cream. Ice cream's not that good. Said the crazy vegan lady. And then
you've just destroyed this little girl's life.
The mom.
Or maybe you've saved it.
Maybe, I don't know. But then the mom is saying, I don't know if she agrees with you. And then I said, I'm waiting for my grapes because I just ordered grapes and I love grapes and apples. I'm getting apples and, drum roll, green juice.
Yeah.
And then the mother kind of lit up and said, green juice. And she went to the daughter and said, maybe you're ready to have your green juice. And I was even surprised that she knew what that was.
Here's Karen Hartglass on the sidewalks of New York City, fully masked, continuing to stand on the soapbox and change lives, even if they are...
There's no age limit here. So then I looked at the little girl. How old was she? Three? Four? I don't know.
How old were you when you were pushing a stroller with a Build-A-Bear
exactly.
in it?
I said, you know what green juice is good for? And I pointed to my head. I said, it's good for your brain? And then I said, and it's good. It makes you strong. And I showed her my muscles in my arm.
And you backed it up by carrying the case of soy milk. This is 12 cartons of soy milk. You backed it up by showing.
Afterwards.
Right. Yep. That you carried up a case of soy milk and a bag full of fruit. You must have carried up about.
Two bags of apples and strawberries and grapes.
You must have carried up about 30 pounds.
Perhaps.
Up those stairs.
Yeah.
Did you take the elevator or did you walk the stairs?
I took the elevator.
Okay, good, good.
Okay, now the last thing I said when I was telling the little girl that the green juice was good for her brain and for her muscles, and there are new studies coming out all the time. In fact, I just saw one that was talking about green vegetables and how good they are for cognitive ability, and that senior adults, elderly people that have eaten green vegetables compared to those who don't, live like 11 years more.
Right.
And there's just some powerful stuff. And not just live longer, but they live a more quality life. But the last thing I said to this little girl was, I said, ice cream's not so good. Ice cream, and then I said, it goes right to your belly. And I stuck my belly out and I was hitting my belly, making it look really fat. And I hope she got something out of that.
Yeah, right. But I wanted you to tell that story just because I think you're marvelous.
Thank you, Gary. I'll talk to anybody. I love talking to people in the supermarket about food. It's kind of hard now because we don't go into supermarkets very often and wear masks and it's harder to be friendly.
It's harder to be understood. What was that you said? Sorry, I'm wearing two masks.
But my original intent was to help the person delivering the food at Fresh Direct.
Yeah, and what did he say? This
guy
big,
was fit and muscly,
person, right?
And he's like ready to deliver my stuff to the door. And I'm like, no, I can take it. Because I have a tremendous appreciation for the people who bring us our food.
Yesterday was Labor Day, and you were very appreciative of the person
that's right
doing the labor job to bring our Fresh Direct order. And I thought that was wonderful and a story that you needed to tell your listeners. Karen is pro-labor!
Yeah, I'm pro-people getting a living wage.
Yes, thank you. Especially those people who pick our food.
The essential workers we're forgetting. We're starting to forget who those essential workers are, and we cannot forget the people that grow our food, the people that bring our food to us. Without them, we're hungry.
We go hungry, we don't last long.
And they're not paid enough.
So
I'm grateful for the people who deliver food, and I just wanted to help, and so I went to the truck instead of...
So you're talking about health here. You're talking about health and the planet, and that's what we talk about on It's All About Food. We don't really get too political, but politics has a lot to do with it.
Mm.
There was an exciting piece in the Wall Street Journal about New York City's...
Soon mayor-to-be, we are assuming. He will be our next mayor.
We hope to be mayor-to-be, Mr. Eric Adams.
He is now Brooklyn Borough President. He's been on this show twice.
He has a book out.
He has a book out on his diabetes experience.
At last, right?
That's right.
At last. Healthy at last.
I remember singing, at last, my health has come along.
Yes.
Healthy at last. Good.
And your love for Eric has been touted on this program many, many times. And I agree. And he has this piece in the Wall Street Journal that came out a couple of days ago. I'll just read a clip from it, and then we can riff about it if that's okay.
Love it.
Mr. Adams experienced a health crisis a few years ago, which he offers as a metaphor for overcoming what ails New York. He was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 2016. His body was ravaged. He was nearly blind, had stratospheric cholesterol and blood pressure levels, and was told by doctors that nerve damage in his hands and feet could lead to amputation. In desperation, he went to see one last doctor who recommended a near monastic vegan diet. Mr. Adams was skeptical. Quote, I'm going blind, he says with a chuckle, and this damn guy is telling me to stop eating chicken. But he tried, and his vision returned in 3 weeks. 3 months later, quote, my nerve damage went away, my diabetes went in remission, an ulcer went away, and I dropped 35 pounds, end quote. Instead of popping pills defensively for each of his life-threatening problems, he says, he'd addressed the underlying cause. Mr. Adams merges his metaphors. My plant-based diet for the city, he says, is to govern upstream, not downstream. What does that mean? He offers a very specific example. An estimated 30% of New York prison inmates have dyslexia, he says. The figure for the general population is 10%. 80% of inmates don't have a high school diploma, he continues, and 55% have a learning disability. So if we want to decrease crime in our city, how about doing dyslexia screenings in every school? He goes on and on and on with some really great advice.
This is so exciting to have someone in politics ready to change policy to help all of us. And we've needed this for so, so long. You know, we talk about chronic disease and how our current medical system is all about treating the symptom, not treating the cause. And so he's using this plant-based metaphor. And he's doing the same thing when it comes to crime. He doesn't want to treat the symptom. He wants to treat the cause. And sometimes the cause is not giving the child, the very young child, the resources, the foundation, the education, the tools that they need in order to survive and thrive in life.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not that complicated. This isn't rocket science. But here is someone who has lived it. He lived a difficult childhood. He was bullied. He was on the NYPD force. And now he's in politics. He's seen all sides. And his health was affected. And he figured out how to get well.
Yeah, and he wants similar interventions for even younger children. He's quoted by saying, in the first 1,000 days of life, roughly 3 years, we determine brain development, the ability of the child to learn. It's the seed. And much of the government spending is In belated response to our failure of early childhood development, mothers in poor communities, he says, should have doulas, professionals who assist them through childbirth. They should learn the right food that powers their child's brain. Why wait until the child's foundation is destroyed and then look in the 10th or 11th grade to retrieve what we should have fixed in the beginning? I mean, we need to feed our children these foods that you and I talk about constantly on these programs. Not ice cream, not wait for the ice cream truck. I know that's going to take some re-educating of what is in fact good for your child. And ice cream, unfortunately, is not.
Okay, or maybe the ice cream as it is today changes to something that is still fun in the summer, can still be delivered by a truck.
Sure.
But is good for us. For example, those frozen treats we get at Press Juicery that are made from nuts and seeds and fruits, they're delicious. And if a child grew up eating that sort of treat,
which some do,
they would love it and crave it and not even like the ice creams of today because they're too sweet.
A cold sweet treat is great. And like you said earlier, you have to recalibrate your taste buds just a little bit, because the things after you do recalibrate your taste buds do in fact, I never thought I would admit this, but they do in fact taste too sweet. One of the things that used to drive me nuts was when my grandparents would come over and have cake, and then they would look at me and say, that's too sweet. Or a great aunt, someone who was considered old when I was a kid. And I was like, how can anything be too sweet? They're right. These things are too sweet, but our taste buds are being zapped with way too much sugar.
It's reminding me of the time, this is 20 years ago now, where I did a 3-week water-only fast, and it was supervised by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. And when I finished and I was going through the refeeding process at this fasting house, I was given like a half of a steamed zucchini. And most of the time, zucchini tastes like nothing. It usually tastes like nothing. Usually we like to add some onion and garlic to it to give it a little something. This zucchini was so sweet. And that's because I had nothing on my tongue for 3 weeks. My taste buds were so sensitive.
Wow.
And they could taste the sweetness in a zucchini.
How is that even possible?
Is that crazy?
I don't even know if I could taste the sweetness in a zucchini since I've recalibrated my taste buds. But I guess,
you know, when we're really hungry, how good food tastes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
When you're ready for it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm feeling really hopeful about Eric Adams. And very often when we do this program, we hear the Mr. Softy truck. And I'm thinking, I'm not against the Mr. Softy truck. I just think Mr. Softy and Ms. Softy and the whole Softy family can serve up frozen treats that are great in the summer that aren't made from refined foods, that aren't made from tortured animal products, that are made from fruits and vegetables, and preferably organic. And can you imagine if New York City, now you know I like to say New York City is the greatest city on earth, you don't have to agree with me, but it is a big, powerful, impressionable city. Can you imagine if we went in this plant-based direction led by Eric Adams as our mayor, improving the food in schools, in our hospitals, in our prisons, and also doing all of this child development early on.
Right. I have to finish up with a couple more paragraphs from this because it's right on the line, along the lines of what you just said. So in the article, they said, when I asked Mr. Adams which past mayors he admires, he names three. Fiorello LaGuardia. And he says he had an on-the-ground blue-collar mindset. And this being the day after Labor Day, I thought that was important. An on-the-ground blue-collar mindset. That's who I believe I am, Mr. Adams says. I am up at 5 every morning, meditating, exercising, drinking my smoothie, then giving 12 hours for my city. Second, he says David Dinkins was mayor from 1990 to 1993. didn't really get the credit he deserved, among other things, for going to Albany to secure state money to hire 6,000 new police officers. And this was a surprise to me. Mr. Bloomberg, he was talking about Mayor Bloomberg, had the first version of how we should use data to really move our cities forward. Mr. Bloomberg went to City Hall as the city was beginning its long recovery from 9/11. On that day, Mr. Adams was a uniformed NYPD officer, a lieutenant in Brooklyn's 88th precinct. He was working election duty. The mayoral primary was postponed later in the day when he saw the Twin Towers crumble. That night, quote, he says, I went down there and saw how devastating it was to all of us. But he says, there's something else that a lot of people don't acknowledge, and that's 9/12. To me, 9/12 is the most significant part of this journey. On that day, the day after, we got up. New Yorkers got up. Teachers taught. Builders continued to build. We said that we're not going to crumble. A city that went through 9/11 and recovered can go through COVID and recover, he says. He wants, in all modesty, he says, to usher in a post-COVID 9/12 in New York City. We have the resiliency. We're going to continue to move forward. I think that's really important to state along the lines of what we've been talking about, because it's a mindset. It's a mindset. And we all need to get into that mindset that we can recover from this if we're smart, if we don't look away from what is there for us to use. And the science backing a plant-based diet is there for us to use. And there are all of these cases, not unlike Mr. Adams, where people have reversed things like diabetes. And climate change is affected by what we grow and how we grow it. And I just say, we have to just do it now because we're running out of time.
And to use an expression, build back better. We want to build back better. We want to build back better from COVID. And Eric Adams is going to lead us that way. And I really hope that the rest of the country and the world see the accomplishments, because I know things are going to be positive by doing these things that he's talking about. They have to be.
Right.
I'm feeling very positive about this, and yes, it can't happen soon enough.
And how wonderful to have a mayor who is really smart about the truth, about what food can actually do.
And it's not just because he's vegan. I want everybody to be vegan. I want all my politicians, all the people in office to be vegan. This is the beginning.
But it is, as you mentioned, in a lot of people's minds, I know it is in yours, the greatest city in the world. And that means it's also the city that everybody looks at for this city to lead them out of these crises. I mean, it really is. It's like, what is New York doing? How is New York doing it? Or what is New York doing that's making things better for them? Because we want to adopt some of those policies. At least some of the cities do. I know a lot of the cities don't. And the piece also talked about how he's going to help New York get some of those folks back that have moved to places like Florida and all that. That, I don't feel, is as urgent as what he's talking about with respect to early childcare, making sure that people understand the importance of these foods that we are talking about in this program.
Every week. Every week for over a decade, since 2009.
I think you know the doctor that he went to as well, right?
I believe he was talking about Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn.
Right.
Yep.
Who also has a son, Rip Esselstyn, who wrote a book for firefighters. Speaking of firefighters.
Yeah, he got his whole station to go vegan.
Right. Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn and Rip Esselstyn.
Yeah, so we've got some momentum going here, folks.
Yeah.
The ripple effect. It's happening. The domino effect.
Rip.
The ripple effect. Rip Esselstyn.
I wonder if Rip
effect.
Esselstyn wants you to sell him that tagline. The ripple effect. No, but it's really important. Okay, speaking of the High Holy Days, which I think they started yesterday, right? They started on
Monday night.
Monday night. You made a really great treat because we were feeling left out. We didn't have a honey cake, which is not a honey cake. What do we call it? Not a honey cake?
We call it sweeter than honey cake.
Sweeter than honey cake, because you, as you said, made it with agave, but
I did. I made a sweet treat that I've been thinking about making for a while. So we got this cookbook a while ago. We get a lot of cookbooks.
A lot of cookbooks. We like cookbooks, and we use them.
And I think it was because of COVID and all kinds of other problems, but I never did get to talk to the author of the cookbook, Andrea Hanneman. And the cookbook I'm talking about is Plant Over Process, 75 Simple and Delicious Plant-Based Recipes for Nourishing Your Body and Eating from the Earth. There's a lot of great raw recipes in here, and everything is whole food. And there's a recipe for magic cookies.
Oh, they are. They're magical. Tell us about them, Karen. Tell us about these magical cookies.
And they are magical. They're made from garbanzo beans.
Now, you wouldn't think that a garbanzo bean could be turned into a cookie, but...
Garbanzo beans,
peanut
butter...
And it's not garbanzo bean flour. It's garbanzo bean.
Right. I used a can of garbanzo beans. This is how easy it is. I didn't even make the garbanzo beans from scratch like I do most of the time. We have a few cases of beans for emergencies and occasionally when I want to make cookies in the pantry. So I took a can of beans, I drained them, and it's about a cup and a half in the beans.
And of course, you save the water of the bean.
For aquafaba. You never throw any of that away.
Yeah.
It has peanut butter in it. It has maple syrup, chocolate chips, little baking soda, and vanilla. And you blend this up and you get this cookie batter and you drop your little cookies and you bake them. And they're delicious.
They are.
The simplest thing. Now, this time, by mistake, I add a little more maple syrup. The recipe calls for a third cup. The three was really little and I was in a hurry. So I added a half a cup.
It's a new year. It's got to be sweet, right?
So the batter was a little soft. No worries. You can always find a way to salvage any recipe. So I figured I'll make like a brownie base. And I filled a parchment-lined small cookie sheet.
Yeah, a quarter sheet pan.
Quarter sheet pan with this batter and baked it. And in the end, I cut little cookie squares.
Right.
And they're yummy.
Delicious. Unbelievable.
And there's really nothing bad in them. Yeah, well, I can post this recipe and my versions of it, but it was really fun to have a treat.
Yes.
And there are lots of other wonderful recipes in here. We're going to have to try some of them.
Okay, and another thing that you made, we had this big salad yesterday. You made a dressing that was really...
Really good. Really I made a good. Cilantro lime dressing. Now, I got the idea when we were in California, and we... would eat at a restaurant called Luna Mexican.
Luna Mexican Kitchen.
Luna Mexican Kitchen. Okay. Right. And now there are two of them. And one of the things we love is they make their own tortillas, their own corn tortillas, just like we do here at home. You know, I'm a little crazy about making my own corn tortillas with organic mozzarella. They make their own corn tortillas, and that's nice. But they have this wonderful kale romaine salad, and it has a cilantro lime dressing.
Right.
It has a little kick in it and with a jalapeno pepper. But my cilantro dressing, again, easy. I used a Vitamix, a high-powered blender.
Oh, when we got back from California, we didn't have a Vitamix for 3 months.
That's right. Oh, now we can't stop using it enough.
We have to figure out ways to use our Vitamix just to make up for lost time.
So... I just took a big bunch of cilantro. I didn't even chop it up. I just rinsed it, and I used the stems. You know, there's so much great nutrition in all of these stems of herbs, parsley stems, cilantro stems,
right,
basil stems, kale stems, all those stalks and stems. We remove them and throw them away. Why? Because we don't like the feeling in our mouth? I don't know. We've got such strange habits. But what's wonderful when you blend an herb with a high-powered blender is you can use the whole thing, including those little stems. And I don't like to waste. And they actually add more intensity to the flavor.
Right.
So this is brilliant. So this dressing has lime juice, cilantro, tahini, and a little water, green onions, scallions.
Right.
And you're free to do whatever you want, of course, with any recipe. But a recipe like this... If you don't like cilantro, or if you have the gene that doesn't let you eat cilantro, Yeah. You can use parsley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally fine. Or watercress. You can use all kinds of little delicate leafy greens.
You could use spinach.
You could use a spinach, sure.
Right?
Yeah. And everything will impart a different flavor. If you don't want to use tahini, you can use any nut or seed butter. It's free.
I would use this dressing to marinate tempeh, to marinate tofu.
Oh, yeah.
I would use it on noodles. I would just add one more ingredient if I used it on noodles, and that would be a little nutritional yeast. But other than that,
okay,
a little umami.
I'll let you.
Umami.
But the cilantro and the lime is such a great combination. Of course, if you don't have lime and you want to use lemon, that's fine too. But the lime cilantro is like a really special match, in my opinion.
And you don't use any salt in this dressing.
No salt. And the lime just like pow.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
And if you want, like I was saying before, you could add a little jalapeno pepper if you like that kind of kick.
Yeah, it's a really great base to then take to the next level, depending on what you want to add to it.
Yeah. I was craving it, and I made it.
Yeah, it was great. I can't wait to...
Life's good.
I can't wait to use it on other things. And speaking of that, plant-based diets, this is a rough segue, but we also got a little daring the other day, and we went to the U.S. Open.
We were given tickets to a friend who had season tickets and couldn't use them.
We masked up. Double masked up. And we actually went to the U.S. Open and saw the number one tennis player in the world, male, Novak Djokovic, who is apparently a plant-based athlete.
That's right.
And he is amazing.
Amazing. And this was probably one of the most historical games.
Right. He was playing, it was a third round game, Nishikori. And it was close to a 4-hour match.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking to myself, someone's going to get tired. And if Djokovic really is plant-based, if he really is vegan, he's going to have a better recovery time. Now, I don't know if Nishikori is vegan or not, but I saw Djokovic, you know, he was having some problems. He was standing back too far or whatever. But his recovery, he just kept getting better and better and better as the match went
on.
And it looked like Kai was kind of running out of fuel.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was just psychological or what, but it was really a great match.
It was delightful.
And it was wonderful to see that these two were just battling it out, and it was great.
It was exhausting watching 4 hours.
Yeah.
Well, and we had seen the women's match before that. Speaking of weather, a perfect day, an absolutely perfect day. Sunny, not too hot, and we were so delighted to be outside.
It was beautiful.
It was really lovely.
And we were very careful. We were very careful with respect to COVID. We went with some friends, and we were all masked up, and we saw pretty much that everyone was complying.
Well, everybody had to show proof of vaccination.
And that was also awesome. We all had to show our cards. But it was great to give a shout out to apparently a vegan athlete, Novak Djokovic. He did a wonderful job. Of course, he was he's number one.
So he won.
Great job, Novak. Okay, but the real reason I'm bringing this up is because we were starving, right?
Starving.
And I had remembered when we went to a Giants game in California several years ago that they had a vegan sandwich, a vegan dog.
And I know Marty's Vegan Burger. You can find it at the ballpark.
And Marty's out at the Mets. He's out at Citi Field, I think. And he's probably even out at Yankee Stadium. Anyway, I thought for sure, because as we're walking through the U.S. Open grounds, there's like all of these great restaurants. There's these amazing shops. This is really, the event is, yes, it's the tennis. But the real event is like walking through this tremendous festival that's going on.
It's stunning.
It's unbelievable. And Ralph Lauren stores, and there's a Moët. There's like a little booth that sells $30 glasses of Moët champagne. I mean, it's just incredible. You can go to restaurants. And I thought, well, for sure, once you get into Arthur Ashe Stadium, there's going to be dogs and things to eat. But they've got to have like a vegan sandwich, right? They've got to have something. It was a vegan food desert.
Vegan food desert.
And so we want anybody out there listening to please come to the rescue. of the U.S. Open and sell a vegan anything. I mean,
they have restaurants on the campus there that sell really interesting vegan stuff. There was vegan sandwiches and different bowls and things. But in the stadium itself, when you're sitting in the seat and you haven't left the stadium to walk around the campus, there was nothing. They had this hot dog and sausage stand that just had meat, meat, meat.
Right. And I would have even, you know, considered a fruit stand, something, an apple, anything. I mean, yeah, we were watching 6 hours of tennis, right? I mean, it was like one of the longest. The second match, the first match was about
an hour and a half.
An hour and a half. That was great. The second match between Novak Djokovic and Kei Nishikori, it had to be close to 4 hours.
Yep.
I mean, it was a crazy cool match. But once in a while, yeah, I mean, I was hungry. And
I bet they were hungry when they finished.
They had to be. But they lost some money from you and I because there was no vegan.
Yeah.
There was no vegan.
Maybe when Eric Adams is mayor.
Right.
Some of that will change.
Hey, if the Mets can do it, if Marty's Vegan Burger can be there, get Marty at the U.S. Open.
So we didn't do enough research about the vegan food at the U.S. Open.
So if I'm wrong and I missed it, again, info@realmeals.org. Let me know how wrong I was. Let me know how it was staring me right in the face. I would love to hear that I was
so
wrong.
So that when we go back.
Because this thing, I'm going to go back, definitely.
We can have something to nosh on.
Because you know why? Because Adidas is now making what used to be my favorite tennis shoe in the old days. It was like a leather white tennis shoe called the Stan Smith. Here's a little fashion note. They're making it now with sustainable material.
And it's vegan.
It's vegan.
And who was Stan Smith?
Stan Smith was a tennis player.
Was a tennis player.
Yeah.
And he's got a shoe named after him. And now one of them is vegan.
Right. And
as it should be.
Yeah. And the Stan Smiths are back. They're vogue again. They were around in the dark ages when I was wearing them. And now they're fashion. They're a fashion statement. And they're vegan. Unbelievable. I'm really happy about that. And I got to go back to the U.S. Open because there's an Adidas store there. And I'm just betting they sell Stan Smiths.
Now, after we saw the game, we came back to our neighborhood. And we went to a local restaurant
that we have gone to before that has actually been a place that we've had an event, a vegan event.
We had a Responsible Eating and Living fundraiser there years ago, the Swinging Gourmet's Happy Birthday Review at the Jade Restaurant in Forest Hills.
I want to say, what was that, 2016?
I don't know. It was a while ago. Yeah.
This place is called Jade, and they have indoor-outdoor seating, and they're in, if you've ever been to Forest Hills, which used to be the home of the U.S. Open at Forest Hills Stadium. But now that's all moved, as we mentioned, to Flushing, to where you can see that giant globe that's so iconic.
At the Flushing Meadows Corona Park.
Park, right.
Not Corona as in coronavirus, but as in Corona Park.
Right. And the famous Arthur Ashe Stadium is there, and the famous Louis Armstrong Stadium, and then there's countless other venues for tennis. But Forest Hills used to be the home of the U.S. Open. And so in that, it looks, it's old cobblestones, that little, I guess you would call it
it's like a plaza or a square.
A plaza or
right
a square,
near the train station.
Right near the Long Island Railroad. There's this beautiful, idyllic building called Forest Hills. It used to be called the Forest Hills Hotel.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just this wonderful,
very charming. It's got a clock
right
at the top.
It's a Tudor-style building.
Yeah.
It's been there for forever, I'm sure. Anyway, there's a restaurant on the ground level called Jade, and we went there one day, and they had vegan items on the menu. And so we were, as I mentioned, we were very hungry as we left the U.S. Open. And so we stopped at Jade to see if they had anything for us to eat. And happily, they did.
They did.
It was an Asian fusion kind of place. We just munched out on some tofu and some noodles and some bok choy.
We were going to get the edamame, but we didn't. We ended up getting shishito peppers. And here's my shishito pepper warning.
Yeah, and that's, you have to really be careful when you say shishito pepper.
Shishito peppers.
We're going to talk peppers now. This is why I bring it up, because we're talking peppers.
Talking peppers. Now, has anybody ever had a shishito pepper? It's a long, slim green pepper. And in restaurants, they're served as an appetizer where
they're
what
sautéed.
Would you call it? Sautéed in oil, and they're blistered a little bit.
They're like flash fried in a wok, really hot. And, you know, they toss them and they're glistening with oil as you get them at your table.
So the thing about shishito peppers is they have a really nice flavor, a pepper flavor. But occasionally, one of the peppers in the collection will be a little spicier or a little hotter. Not all of them.
Right.
And so you get this as an appetizer, and you're munching away on these very mellow, nice, flavorful peppers.
They're popular as an appetizer.
And then you get one that has a little kick, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's fun.
That's very nice. And
this particular time, every one of those peppers was hot.
Right. The definition of a shishito pepper is that it's mostly a mild chili pepper. But every now and then, as Karen said, a particular pod will pack some heat. Well, we got all the pods.
Well, they were all packing heat, and it was painful.
Yeah.
Because I kept eating. I'm thinking, okay, the next one won't be hot. Oh, I was burning.
Right. But we were so hungry.
That we ate them.
We just kept eating. Actually, I brought a few of them home because we couldn't actually finish them, because they give you quite a bit.
They went very Chopped well the next day with potatoes.
And mixed them with some boiled potatoes it was really, really,
really good.
So if you're looking for a vegan appetizer, try the shishito pepper.
Everybody say that together.
S-H-I-T-O.
Shishito.
Yeah, and you could be mistaken for saying something else if you're not careful. If you're not, as Karen would say, caressing your consonants.
That's right. And there's a lot of consonants there in shishito.
But peppers are a lot of fun, and they go really well in the summertime. Better in the wintertime when you need something to...
When you need that heat.
Warm you up. Yeah, so my noodle dish was a more like a lo mein, and yours was
I got the chow fun.
Chow fun.
Yeah.
But we were basically creating the menu as we went along.
They customize things for you, which is very nice
right.
when they do that.
I asked them, you know, if it was vegan, and they said, we can make it vegan by leaving out the egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very nice of them.
I love when they know what they're talking about.
Right. It's
yeah,
great.
So that's a plus for Jade Eatery.
In Old Forest Hills. It was a U.S. Open kind of day, both new and from the bygone era. Right.
So as we wrap this up, we had a beautiful sunny day here in Forest Hills, and who knows what tomorrow may bring. What's your favorite weather? What's your favorite climate? You like fires, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, lots of sun, dry heat, humid heat. What do you like? Let us know.
Yeah, and also let us know if you're eating anything that we want to talk about on the program. And if you have a wonderful recipe, send it to us. We'll try it. And then we'll talk about it. As we've done in the past. Who remembers the famous apple cake?
We spent a lot of time last year perfecting that apple cake.
Right.
I remember.
And that was sent to us by one of our...
Donna. Hi, Donna.
Our treasured listeners. Send us a recipe that you want us to test out in the Responsible Eating and Living Test Kitchen. This program marks the beginning of back to school here in New York City. I think all of the students will be probably back in school, either maybe they're in school today or tomorrow. But that means that the schools are going to be back to feeding kids. Let us know if there's enough plant-based meals on your child's menu at school. And if not, maybe we can help get some there by contacting the school and doing some outreach work. Whatever we can do to help, let us know. We'll get on it. And meanwhile, thanks for listening. And Karen, thank you for all of your wonderful wisdom and street corner antics with children wanting ice cream and breaking their little hearts.
Remember, if we're going to make a difference on this planet, we have to talk to everyone in a loving, non-judgmental, compassionate way, of course, and never forcing anything. But we need to be engaging. Even, you know, I learned when I was a kid not to talk to strangers. I say talk to strangers because no one's really a stranger. We're all inhabitants of the same home, planet Earth. And I believe we need to start thinking about that we all are together in this. We all share the same home. So talk to everyone. We're all the same family.
Right. And I'm not the first person to say it, but I think there are some minor exceptions, but most of us are really good in our core. But there are some exceptions.
Yes.
Some people aren't.
So
most of us are.
That's right. So here's to all the good people with goodness in their core. Thank you, Gary, for joining me today and sharing this hour with everybody on It's All About Food.
And speaking of core, I think I'm going to go get an apple.
You even eat the core when
That's
you eat
right,
apple.
That's right, I do.
That's right.
My favorite part. And thank you, Karen. And hey, everybody.
Have a delicious week.